Hi and welcome to my favourite Elliott Smith song. If you haven't listened to us before, in this podcast, we tried to do our best to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi and welcome to today's episode, episode 7 of our fourth season. Our guest for this one is Stephen Page. Stephen is a musician who is perhaps best known as the lead singer and guitarist from the band Bare Naked Ladies. He was one of the founding members of the group and was with them for just over 20 years until 2009 when he left to pursue other projects. Stephen is now a solo artist and is soon heading out on a tour of North America. And he's a big Elliott Smith fan too, of course, and joined us for this interview to talk about his favourite song pick, his love of the album EXO, Elliott's drumming abilities and much more besides those things as well. So here he is, here's Stephen Page talking to Elizabeth Withstanley.
My name's Stephen Page, and I'm a singer-songwriter, and probably best known for my 20 years as a singer and frontman from Bare Naked Ladies. I have a lot of favorite Elliott Smith songs, but I would say for today's purposes, Everybody Cares, Everybody Understands from EXO is a song I'm gonna talk about. It kind of represents a lot of the things that I love about Elliott Smith's music in general.
Everybody cares, everybody understands.
Thinking about what my favorite Elliott Smith song is, you know, a lot of they serve different emotional purposes, or from a musician's standpoint, sometimes there's different levels of kind of like, I listen to his recordings and it inspires me, it makes me want, you know, I finish listening to an Elliott Smith record and I want to go into the studio and start recording. One of the things that I was always inspired by with his music was that so much of it was just him by himself, and the amount that he could communicate musically and vocally just by himself, and that he could add one element, you know, whether it's like the piano comes in, or the backing vocals, like think about Sweet Adeline or something like that. Like those things come in and it's like, imagine a full rock band comes in. He just has to add one electric guitar lick and all of a sudden that's what happens. And Everybody Cares, Everybody Understands, it's exactly that. It's all these places where any of the rest of us would have brought the band in. Whether it's on the first chorus, here I lay dreaming, looking at the brilliant sun, that could be band kicks in there. Okay, that didn't happen. So then we go to the second verse. That would be the time when the band would kick in with a standard beat happening under that. Not there. It's not until the song ends. The song is over and the band kicks in. And it's like a punch to the gut. It is so powerful. And he does this a lot. You know, he waits until the very last minute to add an element, whether it's bass and drums in this case, or it's just a guitar, or it's just backing vocals. But that ability to hear in advance, like what's needed and what's absolutely not needed, I think is part of his absolute genius.
Yes, everybody cares about you. Yeah, and whether or not you want them to, it's a chemical embrace that kicks you in the head.
In the case of Everybody Cares, Everybody Understands, it's like the sense of, I guess, with that strummy, almost what I would call pop acoustic guitar pattern that's throughout the whole thing. You know, it reminds me very much of a song like Bad Reputation by Freddie Johnston. Like it has this, it's automatically, it evokes something melancholy, and I think the listener gets that, but they also feel like there's a sense that it could be very middle of the road, very obvious. But instead, by not adding other elements, it keeps you attuned to his voice and his words. And he has this amazing talent of being able to take lyrics that are very conversational, you know, they're very ordinary speech, but at the same time, they can sound, it's very easy to kind of disassociate yourself from what the story, let's say, is in the song. And you can hear it as impressionistic lyric. And quite often when it's not impressionistic at all, it's almost you know, it's almost very matter of fact. And in this case, it took me a while to kind of think about it and think, oh, this is, I guess, because he talks about you, everybody cares about you. But I think, you know, he means me, Elliot. And I think that, so it sounds like a finger pointing kind of song. And it is in a way, but not at the you in the song, if that makes any sense. He's finger pointing at the people who just won't leave him alone. And it's, you know, I guess it's a song about an intervention, but, you know, whether it's about a specific intervention or about people who are well-meaning, you know, standing in the way, you know, or if you're not ready to accept the help, and let's say at that point too, you know, it's fairly direct. But when you have that chorus that says, "Here I lay dreaming, looking at the brilliant sun," it automatically takes you into that dreamlike state, and you can look at the song as impressionistic. And that's the first time that any other instrument comes into the song too, is that. So in that chorus, you know, where the rest of us would add a tambourine and a horn section, he's got one guitar, you know, electric guitar line comes in, and it serves the purpose. It does exactly what it's supposed to do, which is, you know, it's remarkable.
So here I lay dreaming, looking at the brilliant sun. Raining its guiding light upon everyone.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, when you kind of were first introduced to Elliot's music and kind of where this song kind of fell into your history with him?
Sure. I remember the first time I'd heard of Elliot Smith was, I can't remember if it was the first record or second record, probably either or. A friend of mine, Stephen Duffy, that I've written a lot of songs with over the years, British singer-songwriter who's you know, he was in a band called, he has a band called The Lilac Time, and they're very soft and quiet, and he has quite a quiet voice. And he said to me one day, I won't do the accent because I'm terrible at doing regional British accents. You know, somebody will go, that's not the right region. and he said to me, have you heard of this guy, Elliot Smith? He sings so quietly. He sings even quieter than I do, that he has to double his voice every time he sings. That was how he's introduced to me, was it, because he's like, his voice is so quiet that he has to double it. And it's true, Elliot Smith's, like, one of the things he did, like, one part of that sound was doubling his voice, so that when it was single, when it was just by itself, it was even more effective. Like, you could, it you know, he had this kind of, he could lull you into a certain kind of state of relaxation with this voice, this doubled vocal. And then when it's single vocal by itself, it kind of makes you sit up and take notice. But I think at that point, I probably, the first thing I heard was Either Or, and then went backwards to the first record. And actually, I remember my brother had a Heat Miser EP that he listened to all the time. So I kind of knew peripherally who Elliot Smith was, but I was later where I was like, oh, that's a guy, that's one of the guys from Heat Miser. But that was kind of it. And then when XO came out, I don't know, I'm not even sure I heard anything off of it. I just knew I had to get it. And it became the record I listened to nonstop on that whole year. I spent that year of 80 or 98 and into 99 on the road. And so I was kind of like, that was what was on my portable CD player in my bunk in the bus all the time. And then you'd find another musician, you know, you'd say, do you know Elliot Smith? And they'd go, oh my God. And you kind of had this connection, because it still wasn't mainstream enough where everybody knew who you were talking about. You could turn people on to it.
For a moment's rest, you can lean against the banister. After running upstairs again and again, from wherever they came to fix you in, but always fear city's finest follow right behind.
For me, it was that perfect mix of kind of post-grunge indie. I mean, if you listen to the first Elliott Smith record, it really does still have this element to me of, like, some of those songs could be Kurt Cobain's songs sung differently, but they have similar elements. And then by the time he gets to Either Or, like, his guitar playing gets more like, you know, think about Paul McCartney playing Blackbird. Like, it's more complex. It feels effortless, always feels effortless with Elliott Smith, but it becomes that kind of thing. And then by the time you get to XO, I mean, I hate to always bring it back to the Beatles, but for me, everything comes back to the Beatles. And it's how you choose to use the influence that makes you an interesting musician. You know, anybody can grab whatever they want from a Beatles record, but it's how you choose to make it personal. And you know, for instance, like, whatever, Radiohead pulled it off in a way that maybe I couldn't have. You know, you make these kinds of, you learn things from records, whether it's a jazz record or a Beatles record or a folk record or whatever else. But Beatles becomes it's a place where so many of us can meet.
So you see the influence of the Beatles there with him, and then you see kind of where he took it, that the direction he took it, and kind of learned from those elements and made them his own.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what the best, you know, that's what the best records do, is that they take their influences, and rather than just aping them, they learn what was good about those original influences. Why did this influence me? Why did this move me when I was an 8-year-old with headphones on listening to a record? What was it about that sound? And so the end of Everybody Cares, Everybody Understands is one of the more obvious Beatles influences, like that rising string and what sounds to me like Chamberlain or Mellotron and probably live strings, and there's that distorted organ sound, all that stuff. It's very I Am the Walrus in a way, and a bit of Day in the Life too, but it doesn't just sound like pastiche, and that's when it works. That's when influence can be a positive thing, as opposed to, oh, there's a Beatles pastiche moment.
You got a pretty vision in your head, a pencil full of poison lead, and a second smile illegal in every town. So here I lay dreaming, looking at the brilliant sun. Raining its guiding light upon everyone.
The other element I was thinking about with this song, with Everybody Cares, Everybody Understands, and I heard your episode with Mike Doty, where he kind of talks about this too, but his ability to use curse words in music, in songs, is unique. Because, like, I've thought about this a lot, long before this podcast. I've thought about, at the very end, he says, the last line is, fucking ought to stay the hell away from things you know nothing about. There are so many ways he could have said that. He could have, ought to fucking stay away, you ought to stay the fuck away, right? He could have put it in different places. Where he says it there, and with it gritting through his teeth, right before he comes in with the great drum fill, it explodes. It's a bottle up and explode. It's that same thing. You can feel the rage underneath. It's so effective, and it feels so natural. It doesn't seem like somebody put a bad word in there. Like, you know, I, on my last record, I have adult kids now, but I was playing them my record, and I have a couple songs where I use the same word, and my kids were like, oh, this is the album where Dad swears now. Like, that's it felt unnatural, I think, to them. You know, it feels natural in the song. I try to be as honest about it as I can, but for Elliott Smith, like, there is no better word or order of words than what's in the song right there, and that's pretty genius.
You say you mean well, you don't know what you fucking ought to stay the hell away from things you know nothing about.
we're here talking about Everybody Cares, Everybody Understands today about this song, but that, you know, there's certainly other songs that you would mention. What are some of your other kind of favorite songs?
Well, I mean, I've actually, I sometimes perform with a group of musicians called the Art of Time Ensemble. And they're a group of classical and jazz players. And they, you know, I'll bring my songs to them and have classical arrangers do the arrangements and stuff, which is pretty cool. And we've done originals and covers and so on. And on one of the tours, we actually did a medley of Everything Means Nothing to Me and Figure Eight, the Schoolhouse Rock song. Because the two songs are kind of intertwined. I think he did a good job of extricating the two when he made the album version, but they really do they are kind of part of the same thing. So I just tried to put them back together. But that song, Everything Means Nothing to Me, is one of those ones. Both, I mean, melodically is so strange and difficult. The range, vocal range, is very huge on that, and I mean, he goes very high, but it's just not a place that I would ever think to take a melody, and that was what makes it so haunting and beautiful, I think. Mix that with, you know, again, the production and playing on the recording are, you know, are remarkable.
You landed on this song today sort of because of your love of EXO?
Yeah, I when I was trying to decide what song to talk about, I didn't stick with EXO. I wasn't like, although part of me in the back of my mind was like, oh, I hope I land on one from EXO. You know, I think as much as I love all the records, really, but you know, and I think I feel like EXO and Figure Eight are kind of a pair in a way, and I would have been happy to have chosen a song from either of those records. I really wanted to choose a song that had that thing that I was talking about earlier, that where the end of the song is when everything starts to happen. Like all the stuff that we would add right at the beginning of a song if we were in a regular old rock band doesn't come until late, or something big and powerful comes, and it comes essentially in the coda of the song. I think it's a real trademark thing of Elliott Smith's, and I wanted to be able to point that out.
And have you tried to do anything similar in the songs that you've made?
It's so funny because I do, you know, every time I listen to these records, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And I chicken out so badly every time. I cannot stop putting the whole kitchen sink in right from the top of the song. And then maybe in the bridge, it'll be a different kitchen sink. But I do suffer from this thing where I've learned a lot from Elliott Smith and think, God, if I had the confidence. I think it takes a ton of balls to just have your voice and a guitar, especially for 4 minutes or whatever, 3 minutes before anything else enters. Like that takes a lot of confidence. And even though his voice sounds shaky and you think of him, I don't think people think of him as having, you know, a world of confidence when they think about his persona, but musically he plays and sings with full confidence. You know, here's the thing about doubling vocals. You have to sing virtually exactly the same, both takes. You know, you might compile different takes, but essentially you have two different tracks of the same voice singing exactly the same. You have to be good in order to repeat that, so that it tracks properly channel to channel. So, you know, he's, and as a guitarist and as a drummer and keyboard player, anything else that he does on the records, everything is excellent, you know. And that's the other thing for me, is I'm kind of always trying to cover up my faults as a player by adding another instrument or layer of something else. through the whole pandemic, I've done weekly live stream shows, as have lots of other artists. But it's, you know, it's totally changed yet again how I approach my own catalog, because there's nobody else here. So I have to, like, okay, now I'm going to try this song on the piano. Okay, now I'm going to try this song with I'll pre-record part of myself and I'll sing along with myself or something like that. You have to be more creative. And sometimes it does, it takes me back to my old days of, you know, in the early days of Bare Naked Ladies, how we used to do recordings was we'd have a 4-track cassette recorder. And that's the same as how Elliot Smith made his early recordings. The idea of being able to record yourself with a 4-track cassette, makes you have to make all kinds of choices and very economical choices when you're recording. And so to be reminded of that has been really valuable. The only other thing to touch upon is how awesome his drumming is. Like, that drum fill is so good that it would, like, knock me out of my seat. It still does when he comes in with that. And it's one of the, you know, on that record on XO, there's a couple of songs that Joey Warrenker plays drums on, you know, who's just a great, great, great drummer. You know, play with Beck and with REM and so on. And so I kind of assumed that this was as well, and then I realized it wasn't. It was Elliot playing on this track, which made it an even better choice today. But yeah, I used to think, oh, if I ever made a solo record, but, you know, long before I made a solo record, I used to think I should ask Elliot Smith if he wants to drum on it. Like, as if you ever have done that. But in, you know, my little, you know, my fantasy world, I get him to come and play drums on my record.
A big thank you then to Stephen for being part of the podcast. It was lovely having him as a guest on the show. And we'll be back with another episode of My Favorite Elliot Smith Song very soon. If you want to get in touch with us in the meantime, then please do feel free to email us at info@myfavoriteelliotsmithsong.com or DM us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So that's it then from me today. Thanks again to Stephen Page and Elizabeth Wood Stanley, and thank you for supporting this podcast. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.